Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan. Chris, why do you have one of my balls in your hand?
Because it says poof.
So I have Chris. Say hello, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
I have Carmella today. Hey, Carmella.
Hey, how's it going?
Good to have you back today.
Thanks.
And we have two special guests today.
Yes, we do.
We have Tara Whittle and Lee DeGeorge. Hey, guys. How are you today?
Hi. Hey, doing great.
Now, it is awesome to have you. You guys are both former game show contestants. So why don't we talk about that? I've never asked either of you about your experiences. I'm interested. So let's start with Lee. Lee, what shows have you been on? Because you said more than one. Go ahead and clue us in.
Well, my whole foray into game shows was very interesting. I am a teacher in New York City, and for an after school program, this is when Minute to Win It was a big deal, and it was the show that was hosted by Guy Fieri. And my students were into it. So what we would do in an after-school program is we would take one of the games and we would pick apart the science behind the game.
Oh, wow.
So I would teach them the way to do it, and they would videotape me and put me on YouTube on how I solved the game, and then I taught them. And then for the rest of the time, they would go and they would solve the game themselves. NBC saw that on YouTube and contacted me, said, "Hey, you want to be on the show?" I'm like, "Yeah." Sign me up. So they flew me out to California, and I epically failed on national TV.
Awesome. Did they put new games out there that you hadn't solved on YouTube?
Correct.
Yeah, the figures.
Correct. It was a great experience. Got to meet a lot of casting directors who then called me for other game shows. There was one that was hosted by Ryan Seacrest called Million Second Quiz.
Okay, I remember
which was
that one.
The one that was... You basically sat in a chair and answered a ton of questions, and you were going up against one person at a time. If you won, you got to stay in the chair. If you lost, you went home.
Sure.
So I lasted four rounds in the chair, and then I
hey, four rounds is pretty good.
Lost but won absolutely nothing. I was on Ask Me Another, which is a podcast / NPR game show.
Absolutely.
Yes, I used to listen to that.
It was a lot of fun. The great Jonathan Colton sings songs, and you have to kind of figure out what he's singing about. And it was a great time. Lost on that too. And I was on. There was a show called Let's Ask America. It was basically like a Family Feud type game where you had to figure out what America thinks. And I don't really know what America thinks.
No,
I can't get into the mind of preteen girls about how much they love Justin Bieber, and I lost on that too.
So Lee, I'm noticing a trend here.
Glad you caught on.
I'm a reporting analyst at my job, so the trend I'm seeing here. Let's look at the Excel spreadsheet. Lost, 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 lost.
Wow, way to make a man feel good about himself.
I know, and in my head it sounded funny until I said it, so I'm terribly sorry, Lee. I'm just going to shut up over here.
I'm going to tell you, I will trade a bunch of little wins for losses, so when I get that big win, I get to be like, "Hey, Chris, look at this."
Yeah. You know what disappoints me, Lee?
Good answer, by the way.
It disappoints me. I was really, really hoping that one of those games was going to be Double Dare.
Oh, that's so good.
That would have been awesome.
How about this, Jonathan? I was an alternate at 13-year-old for Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, I love Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
That is amazing. Holy cow.
Oh, I used to watch that show all the time.
And real quick, and you're a teacher now, and that's awesome. So, and also, Carmel and I were looking at each other when you were telling us that as after school you were teaching the kids the science behind it. And I'm impressed with that. As a person that that has two nephews that I know are struggling in school because their teachers are just so. Just thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And of course, a lot of the games is bouncing ping pong balls, so I got to teach them how to play beer pong before they get to college.
Oh, yes. Oh man. All right. I said all that, and then you just said that.
I think that's well done. That brings a balance to the force. So now our other guest, Tara Whittle. Tara, you haven't been on four game shows. You've been on one. Why don't you tell us about that?
It's hard to even know where to start. Everyone, you know, everyone thinks crazy things about Jeopardy, and when you're on it, it's indescribable. And everyone says, oh, that must have been, you know, on your bucket list to be on Jeopardy. And I've watched Jeopardy as long as I can remember. And I always thought, oh, I could do well, but I never thought, oh, I'm going to really try and be on this show. And then someone said, oh, the online test is next week. You should take it. Like, whatever, I'll take it. And you take the online test, and it's 50 questions. 15 seconds per question, and it's like it goes by in a flash.
It goes by so damned fast.
Yes. You know, I took the test in January of 2014, and I thought, okay, that's it. And in, I don't know, April, I'm sitting at a long red light checking my email on my phone, and there's an email from Jeopardy inviting me to audition.
Oh.
And I'm like yelling and screaming in my car at the red light, and like, okay, I've got to go find a place to pull over and just freak out. So about 100,000 people take the test. About 3,000 are invited to audition in person. And when you audition in person, you take another test so they know it wasn't a fluke. That you think 15 seconds is fast. At the test in person, you get 8 seconds.
Wow. Is it like an online where you're typing, or
it's
can you just
like
answer?
They show the clues on a screen, and you have a piece of paper with 50 blanks, and you just write this.
You have to write it on paper? Oh, crap. I'd get eliminated there every time. I can type faster than I can write.
And again, also, they don't tell you how you did. You play you practice playing a game with the real buzzers. They do an interview with you. So mostly at that point, it's to see, can these people really be on television? You know, can they play the game? Are they going to be entertaining? Are they going to freeze up? Are they all, you know, it's as much about personality as it is about knowledge at that point. And then they say, bye. You know, don't call us. We'll call you.
Do you have to travel to do that part?
I went to Boston.
Okay. So they have regional.
All around the country.
Okay.
She went to your favorite city.
Yeah, right.
Sorry?
You went to Boston. That would have lowered my score by a good 40 points just off of that.
You have a love for Boston. I've picked that up along the way. And then 8 months, they say they can call you anytime within 18 months. So after the first few months, whenever I get a weird phone call on my phone, I think, and then I kind of forgot about it. And then 8 months later, they called me and said, come be on the show. And it was just amazing. And it went by in a flash. And the people were amazing. The experience is so hard and surreal, I can't even describe it. Because you're trying to listen to Trebek read the question. You're trying to read it yourself and see if you know the answer. You're thinking about, okay, what's the exact moment I can buzz in? Because the buzzer is everything.
Yeah.
And you're also trying to not look like a deer in the headlights on television.
Yes.
And so I finished second. I went into Final Jeopardy in third. But I managed to wager my way into second, even though I had no idea what the Final Jeopardy was.
Wow.
And I went home with $2,000, an amazing story, and, you know, so I only have one in the lost column so far.
You know, it's a little bit surreal
still,
for me.
Wow.
Because you guys know I watch Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a pretty decent memory.
Yes.
So when we first connected, Tara, I recognized you.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I remembered exactly. No, it's funny with the stuff we do on the side with the Learned League stuff. Different folks were meeting. I'm like, I remember your episode. I remember your episode. I remember your episode. So yeah, you were sitting, or you were, I guess you stand, but you were on the far right side and you were going up against a multi game, like a 5 or 6 game champion when you went in.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
Dan Fytel.
And, so I actually remember. So it's very surreal to have you on now. And in today's game, we're going to have a little fun. This is a first time ever kind of game for us.
What do you mean? We have a first time?
We have a first time. Chris, what? It's our first time. We're going to pop your cherry here. And
first you had your hand on his balls. I think I just
peed a little. I don't know what's going on here.
Chris and I, because you guys are so accomplished.
Very much so.
This is going to be Tara and Lee on a team versus Chris and Jonathan.
Oh, thank God. I got back up.
Wow.
Okay.
So we're going to have a lot of fun with this. It is time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
Okay. So everybody, hi. Everybody's going to be fending for themselves on this warm it up, Chris question. And this is a listener submitted question once again. This listener submitted question. This is from Lee Kittums.
Not Lee DeGeorge.
Nope.
He said Lee. I was like, wait, wait, what?
Yes.
What?
He's going to use his own question?
I got excited that I was going to get them all right for 2 seconds.
Lee Kittums. And Lee sent us an email that says, hi there. I have a somewhat Olympics-related question for ya.
Yeah.
It literally says yeah.
Nice. I like how you pronounced it yeah, too.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So, last season, the NBA had a record 101 international players representing 37 foreign countries. Lee wants you all to name the 12 countries other than the United States with three or more active NBA players. Tara, how would you like to go first?
Well, I would like to go first with the correct answer.
Okay, then you can go first.
I don't know if I can do that, though. I am going to say Brazil.
Brazil is fourth on the list with 7 NBA players. Well done. All right. So, Lee, you're up next.
I'll go with Australia.
Australia is third on the list with 8 NBA players. Well done. Jonathan.
I'll go France.
Let's see. France, number 2 on the list with 10 NBA players. Carmella?
China?
China, I'm sorry to say, is not on the list. All right, so going into round 2, Terry, you're up next.
Round 2 in warming up, Chris. Nice.
Wow.
All right, well.
How about Italy?
Italy is tied for 6 on the list with 4. Lee, you're up.
Decisions. Let's go with Spain.
Spain, number 5 on the list with 5.
He took my Spain. I'm not happy with you, Lee. I really wanted Spain there. Now I'm humped.
There's a theme with you today.
I'm going to take a real shot in the dark here and say the Netherlands.
The Netherlands are not on the list. All right. Carmella, let's see if you can get on the board.
Germany?
I'm sorry, Carmella. Germany not on the list.
Neither is Germany.
All right, just to let you know, number 1 still on the list, and many...
Number one
still on the list.
Number 1.
A couple 6th are on the list, and a couple 9th. Tara, back to you.
So I'm going to go with our north of the border neighbor and say Canada.
Canada is number 1.
Why didn't I say Canada?
Boom.
Ah, such an easy answer.
All right.
I was really sweating it out. I thought, they're all going to say it before it's my turn again.
Really should have.
So, Lee, can you keep up with Tara?
I'm going to try to, even though I'm not as sure about this one. Let's go with Croatia.
I'm sorry, Croatia's not on the list.
And I'm going to finish out my wrong answers with the Dominican Republic.
Not on the list.
All right.
Carmella?
Mexico.
I'm sorry, Mexico is not on the list.
Whatevs, Mexico.
I actually have one more guess.
Okay.
Okay, what's your one guess?
Is Greece on the list?
Greece is not on the list. I really thought it was on the list.
So then Jonathan will make sure that doesn't make
it. No, that's
there.
Sticking around. Was that worth it?
All
right.
I got chills.
So number 1 with 12 is Canada, 2 with 10 is France, 3 Australia with 8, 4 Brazil with 7, 5 Spain with 5. Tied for 6 is Italy, Russia, and Turkey with 4.
Really?
And then tied for 9th is Argentina, Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Herzegovina.
Okay. Montenegro and Slovenia all with 3.
Wow.
So. I should have said Turkey because my brother is friends with Hito Turkoglu and went to his wedding in Turkey.
Okay.
Oh.
So.
And I thought he's probably the only Turk in the
Right, exactly.
So anyway, but Lee in the email says, thanks, I started downloading your show a few weeks ago in the gym, and by now I'm nearly caught up. Lee in Berkeley, California.
Look at us, Trivial Warfare, helping everybody else get in shape except for us.
Yes.
Speak for yourself, sir.
Really?
I've been doing yoga for the past month.
With Trivial Warfare helping you?
Yeah. I have it on the background sometimes.
Nice.
So that, my friends, is your Warming Up Chris question of the episode.
All right. All right, guys. So you heard it before. It is Lee and Tara versus Jonathan and Chris. It is time to start the game.
Time to play the game.
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points, and when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys. Let's get started. Carmella, take it away.
All right, your first category in round 1 is going to be in literature. According to Forbes.com, who is the world's top earning author in 2015?
But let me clarify. Do you mean of all time as of 2015 or just in the year 2015?
It just said 2015 for Forbes.com.
We're in straight guessing mode right now. Yeah. We don't know the answer. That's okay. Yeah, I'm sure. It's wonderful for you. Out of the answers we've discussed.
You like none of them.
I really don't. We can go with your first one, but I don't think there's any way that it's right.
Okay. I feel pretty good. I feel better about that one than the rest of them.
All right. We're locked in.
Lady and gentleman.
All right. So Lee, I have a few thoughts about this. So I think, you know, whenever you talk about best-selling current authors, J.K. Rowling pops right to mind.
That was the first one I wrote down.
And then, you know, I think about the person who wrote all the 50 Shades books, which still seem to sell a lot, but I don't think it's her.
I don't think so either. For something to be that's a bestseller in any year, it means that it has to have a wide enough audience, and I don't think the 50 Shades of Grey, well, I mean, the 50 Shades of Grey has a great audience. I know that Jonathan has read them twice. But
Lee's my favorite.
We can also go the route of Suzanne Collins, who was the author of the Hunger Games series. I think that with the Harry Potter set, even though the books did not come out in 2015, there's still a ton of residual sales in regards to those books. People are picking them up for the first time now, especially with everything that's going on, Paul.
So, but I have another thought.
Go ahead.
That you may think I'm crazy about. So in 2015, a book that was very, well, got a lot of press and was very controversial and was long awaited was released, and that was Go Set a Watchman by Harper Lee.
Ah.
So that was a number one bestseller, huge pre-orders. I would feel better about that than the other ones that we discussed.
That would be especially funny since I'm Lee and the person who wrote the Warm It Up, Chris, was a Lee, and then the answer to the first question would be Lee. So I think
it's totally unplanned, by the way, if that's true.
So. That's a really good answer. And even if the answer turns out to be J.K. Rowling, I think I'd be okay locking in with Harper Lee because I think that's more of a trivial response. It's more of like a trivia answer. Harper Lee, lock it in.
All right. They said Harper Lee. We had a very similar conversation. Yeah. We went through Collins. We went through Patterson, Stephen King. We talked about, I said already Collins already. Dan Brown came up. But we didn't think of Harper Lee. I don't know if, even if I thought about that, I don't know if I would have gone with it.
Okay.
Because the reviews for it weren't that great.
Well,
right?
One of the things with our answer, we also forgot that she also doesn't just write Harry Potter books. She also writes a very successful murder mystery.
For the Roger Galbraith
stuff. Yes, exactly. And she did have, and we wrote down J.K. Rowling. Even though I'm a little nervous about the Harper Lee because I forgot all about that book.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little bit better about our J.K. Rowling once I've remembered about the Cuckoo Calling series new book came out last year. So,
all right. What do we got, Carmella?
All right. So the number 2 on the list was John Green. He's the guy who writes The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns, you know, the ones that were the recent movies that have come out for those with 26 million. With 89 million. And I make jokes about this man all the time because basically you sneeze and there's a new James Patterson book.
Oh, Chris. Chris had it. Well, he didn't have it.
No.
It was one of our choices that we wrote down and summarily scratched off.
Well, and what I wrote next to James Patterson, dude writes 3 to 4 books a year.
That's what he said.
He is a machine when it comes to writing those stupid books.
Yeah, right.
So
usually it's with another person, but now he's doing something called book shots, where it's these little like
100-page books,
like 100-page book. And I used to read James Patterson. I read through a lot of the
And then you ran out of time.
And then I read through a lot of the Women's Murder Club. And then I'm just like, you know what? I'm just kind of, I'm done with this.
Patterson. Good job coming up with a name there, Chris. But no points for anybody.
No, but I'm okay with that. We're at love right now.
Oh.
Good trivia. We're all wrong.
That's right.
Feel the love tonight.
No, I can't.
And that's 10 points for Carmel on that question.
Yeah, right.
Your next category is sports.
Sports.
All right.
Sports.
What is the oldest sport still being played today?
Per who?
Per everyone.
Oh.
I checked multiple sources just
Not
to make
per
sure.
Me. Was it per you, Chris?
I have
the
no
oldest.
Idea.
Oldest sport being professionally played?
That's
I'm talking
question.
Like kids playing jump rope in the driveway or something.
Let's say a sport that could appear in the Olympics.
Okay, we're locked in.
We're locked in.
So, Tara, the first thing I thought of was marathon running, based on the fact of the Greek connection of having to run the 26 miles to deliver the information.
Right.
Are you feeling anything else besides that? Anything else that comes to your mind?
I mean, the only other thing I was thinking was wrestling. I know when they were going to take wrestling out of the Olympics, and everyone was, you know, having an uproar over it because it was, you know, one of the oldest sports and one of the original ancient sports. And
so we've officially said the two things I've written down are wrestling and
marathon. We're amazingly consistent with each other here.
Ric Flair would have been really disappointed if they took wrestling out.
Woo!
Woo!
Wow.
You know, I agree with you, though. I feel like marathon being the thing that started the Olympics to begin with.
Right.
That doesn't mean that people weren't wrestling before that, though. So
people have been running away from wild animals their entire existence. Okay. I mean, if there's an animal that's a lion and they see the lion and the lion's running, I'm going to start running. If I have to run 26.2, I will. But then again, you got to wrestle that lion.
No, I'm pretty sure you tried to run away from the lion.
Yeah.
Run away.
Not for Steve Irwin.
Oh, too soon. Oh,
too soon, Stingray.
Wow. What is you with the death jokes lately?
Harsh.
I don't think she meant it like that, but...
He would have wrestled the lion.
Davy Crockett would have wrestled a lion.
He was nowhere near lion.
Whatever.
He wrestled a bar when he was only three. Where's Chuck Norris when we need him?
Right? Chuck Norris.
He's
Norris
catching all the Pokemons with a payphone.
That's it.
You guys are awful.
With a payphone.
So marathon
it's
running?
A coin flip.
It really is. And I always choose wrong when we flip the coin.
So he wants you to choose.
Don't do it this time. Don't choose wrong.
So then I'll choose the one that I think is wrong. So when it's right, you know.
No, choose the one you think is right.
Well, would you be okay locking in marathon?
I would be. Absolutely.
We're gonna lock in marathon.
All right. Well, Chris and I had a short conversation, and he wrote down marathon running, and I immediately locked into, hey, that's Battle of Thermopylae. That's 300. That was in the movie, and that was at least, I don't know when the paddle was. It feels like it was 300 or 400 BC, if I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if my dates are right.
Not, so.
But I didn't think of wrestling, and honestly, if I'd have thought of wrestling, I might have gone there, because marathon running as a sport started after that. But wrestling as a sport has probably been going on since Cain and Abel.
So, they didn't call it a sport. But, they called it deathmatch.
Yeah, well, so we said marathon running, too.
The answer is wrestling.
Yeah.
No.
Lee, if I had been making the same coin flip, I would have been going with wrestling for sure.
Sorry, man.
Not allowed to pick coin flips.
We're off to a rousing start, just so you know.
Carmella 20, the rest of us 0.
All right, Carmella.
I'm winning against a Jeopardy player. Woohoo!
Question 3.
All right, it's going to be in famous leaders. Within 2 years, how long was Catherine the Great's rule over Russia?
Wow.
Longish?
That's a very inexact answer, Jonathan. Well,
longish plus two.
Plus or minus two.
Just stole my joke.
At the end of round one, the score is 0-0.
That's exactly what
I feel so bad now.
Yeah, we are locked in.
Okay.
So this is a tough question. I'm going to coin Jonathan game theory. Jonathan, in an episode very recently, talked about the two, the within two
a small year. Number versus a big number.
The small number versus a big number. So within 2 years, generally, is a number, what did he say, between 8 and 15 or something like that?
Uh-huh. So I was thinking the exact same thing about game theory.
Using my own strategy.
For those drinking at home.
It stinks, doesn't it?
The only thing that makes me hesitate about that is years ago, there was a big traveling Catherine the Great exhibition, and I went to see it, and just it was amazing stuff. And I just feel like she was the Empress for longer than 15 years.
Okay.
And I would say it's more in the range of 20, 22, 25. I would guess a little higher than the 15.
So would you go 20, which gives us 22 to 18?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to lock in 20.
Why not?
Okay, so we had a whole different thought process on here because I was telling Jonathan, I really thought like I saw something where Elizabeth II has been passing like the longest reigns of a female monarch of a country. And of course, Victoria was the one that Jonathan brought up, and that's true. But I really thought that Catherine was in the mix. And so my initial reaction was I wrote 75. Good news for me is that Jonathan wrote around the same thing.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that Catherine is a record holder for Russia, that she was a very long-term ruler. So the two for me, I didn't use that in this case because I'm pretty sure it was a much longer range. So we said 74 years.
Okay. She reigned from 1762 to 1796. It was 34 years.
Oh, wow.
And
wow,
she is the longest reigning female monarch in Russia.
We were thinking about something totally different then.
I guess so. I was drunk or something.
Well, we were on the same page, though.
Oof.
Well, so guys, this is definitely not what I expected from Chris and I teaming up, not to mention you guys teaming up. So, after the first round, it's a tie game. 0-0.
With Carmella scoring 30.
Yes, Carmella's winning 30-0.
Carmella's winning easily.
It's the only way I can win. All right, well, let's hope that we have some good luck in round two.
Man, this humble pie is chewy.
Dear podcast listeners, please do not turn us off yet. We are not good.
Let's see the second round is better than the first for us.
All right, let's go to television. Who played the role of Captain Jonathan Archer in Star Trek Enterprise?
Oh.
I can see his face.
I can write his name.
That's 100% right. We're locked in.
We're in, guys.
Hi, Lee.
What did I tell you in advance, Tad?
You did. Lee said that exactly right. He was just like, my job is to back Tara up, and she'll just say, hi, Lee.
And what did I tell you was my complete weakness in this
geek culture? Geek
Carmella
culture.
Asks a lot of questions about sci-fi.
I
and
love
that
sci-fi.
Is my absolute weakness.
You know what sci-fi is? It's her jam.
I know that.
I'm sensing that. The only I'm going to make a confession here for everyone to hear.
Oh, no.
I am not a Trekkie.
Okay, that's fine.
No, I'm not
no
a Trekkie.
No way a Trekkie.
Have you watched any Star Trek?
Come on, it's the 50th year, man.
Some.
Yeah, so I'm not a Trekkie either. I've seen some. I'm with you.
I've seen one episode of Star Trek in my life.
Oh, my God. Now, that's worse.
Okay, wow.
Okay, well, I'm more of a Trekkie than that.
It was DS9.
Oh, that's a wrong choice.
No, it depends if it was after the fourth season.
And it was the episode where they were inside of the board game, and the Alamarain, and they had to do that hopscotch thing, and I can't tell you anything about Star Trek
terrible.
Whatsoever. Oh, it's pretty bad. That's why I never watched it anymore.
So what is this character's name again? What'd you
Archer.
Say?
Captain
Archer.
Jonathan Archer.
I'm imagining that it's that guy that had the red hair. And
oh, I'm just going to sit back and look, watch this. This is adorable.
Hey, this is my strategy. Don't laugh at my strategy.
I hear you. Go
yeah,
for
especially
it.
Don't the red hair. Let them go through their strategy.
And I'm having just this name that keeps coming to my mind. And obviously, I have no idea if it's right or wrong because I don't watch the show. But I keep thinking of this last name that's Frakes.
Jonathan Frakes, who was also I'm going to be perfectly honest with you that if you didn't have any name, we were going to go with Jonathan Frakes. He did the Fact or Fiction show also, which was where they would tell these urban legends and you had to make a determination. He's been on TV forever. I mean, it's the best guess that we probably have.
And so we're going to literally the only
guess we have. So let's go Jonathan Frakes.
I know it's not the guy that played Data, because obviously he's Data, not Jonathan, whatever.
Let's go
but
Frakes.
We're only saying Frakes.
Okay, you're locked in with Frakes. Chris, I liked him better on Quantum Leap.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, we went with Bakula.
Scott Bakula is our
answer. So I love Jonathan Frakes. He did do the Fact or Fiction stuff. And he also played Riker on Next Generation. The
I
guy who
it was
played
Frakes.
Frakes. Frakes. Frakes, yeah. No N. Jonathan Archer was played by Scott Bakula.
Yes.
Wow.
We're on the board, Chris.
I just would like to say I'm proud for coming up with one person who was in Star Trek.
Yeah, he was actually in Star Trek. He was in Next Generation. Your next category is science.
Science!
How many bones are in the shoulder girdle, which is the joint system?
I'm out.
The shoulder girdle?
It's called the shoulder girdle.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are listening, Jonathan looks like he's doing surgery on himself right now.
I was just doing the same thing. I was like,
the elbows connected to the wrist bone.
Connected to the shoulder girdle.
I don't know. Why did they put that in the song? All right. We're locked in.
Okay, Lee.
Where's your mind at? I mean, I've been basically touching myself for the past 5 minutes.
That's our outtake.
We know where your mind is.
Hey, well, my shoulder.
You're excited. Feel these nipples.
Oh, awesome.
So you've got the clavicle.
Right.
And you've got the humerus that attaches into the shoulder joint. Is the scapula part of the shoulder joint? I would think so.
Absolutely.
So what other bones could it be?
I wrote down three.
I wrote down three.
So I think we should lock that in.
Three.
Lock it in.
Trace.
All right. I hope I didn't overthink. I might have, though. So I got clavicle. I got scapula. I got humerus. And I felt like the front attached as well. So the scapula is on the backside. The collarbone's coming across the top. The humerus is coming in from underneath. I figured that the pectoral muscle group might have found its way in there, too. I said four.
The clavicle, the humerus, and the scapula. Oh. Three.
Overthought it. Right. I should have just gone with the standard answer.
Man, that's all right, man.
Darn it. All right. Next question.
It's going to be in music.
Music!
All right. The day the music died happened in what year?
Oi.
And I will give you two extra points if you can actually give me the full date.
Oi.
Only two?
I know,
give
right?
Us all the points.
I feel like we should.
Fine. You can have 5 points extra.
No,
if you can give me.
No,
two is fine. Two is I'm just, fine. I'm really kidding on that. It's just like, dang.
All the points.
Well, two is our standard. That's
Chris wins
two.
All the points to 400. Dude, I don't know.
Really?
No, I love the song. I don't have any idea.
My first thought was that right there.
All right, we're locked in. Don't feel good about it.
Do you have anything, Tara?
Okay, so this is in that like black hole of somewhere in between when rock and roll started and then when it was really big. I feel like it's mid to late 50s, like 56, 58.
Mm. I have it later.
Why do you have it later?
I have it in the 60s.
Okay.
And for some reason, and again, I can't pull this, but for some reason, October 8th comes into my head. And
so you remember the people who died in this plane crash, right?
But Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper.
Big Bopper.
Chief Allen.
Okay, so the year I wrote down was 64. If you were alone in this game right now, what number would you lock in?
Well, I wrote down 1958, so On my own, that's what I would do because I wasn't thinking as late as the 60s. But like I said,
we could
area of expertise for sure.
We can cut the difference and say 62. 61, 62.
As you were talking, I wrote down 62.
And I don't know if I just came up with October 8th because I like the day. It just popped into my head like I've heard of that before.
Are we going to say 62 here, Lee?
Yeah, and we'll go with October 8th for the stab in the dark.
Why not?
Okay, so when Chris and I were talking about it, the very key point for us, because he said, what do you think, somewhere maybe in between 59 and 61? And the key point for us was, I don't feel like Buddy Holly released anything in the 60s. I don't think Ritchie Valens did anything in the 60s, and I don't think the Big Bopper did anything in the 60s. So I was dead set against going into the 60s with it.
Yes, you were.
And that is what stuck us down into 1959, and then Chris decided to put my birthday down as the day.
So November 5th?
November 5th,
1959. Now, there's two reasons for it. One, because I remember from the Ritchie Valens movie.
La Bamba.
La Bamba, thank you. That it was very cold. And so I remember that. And then also, November 5th, 1955 is when...
59.
We're going November 5th, 1959. However, November 5th, 1955 was when Marty went back to the future. So that's why November 5th also.
These reasons, I love it when Chris's reasons for picking an answer have nothing to do with the question. That's always comforting.
Hey, as Lee said, it's a stab in the dark.
So you are correct. It did happen when it was very cold outside. The year was 1959.
Yeah!
And it was February 3rd, 1959.
All right.
My little brother's birthday.
There you go. So it had an
Oaks. Michael's birthday.
It had an Oaks connection anyway.
Our scores are better after the second round, guys.
Yay!
Glad to say. It is now 20-10. 20-10 with Chris and Jonathan in the lead.
All right. Your first category in the third round is in movies. It's going to be a tribon.
Oh.
Excellent.
Name the actor that was in all three films. The Fortune Cookie, The Front Page, the one that came out in 1974, and The Bad News Bears, the one that came out in 1976.
I was so excited about this until she said the movies. Holy cow. I've never even heard of two of them.
Really?
Really.
Aw. Okay.
We're not thrilled with it, but we are locked in. We only knew two of these. We only knew one of these movies.
Yeah, really did.
Hi, Tara.
Lee's like, I'm with them.
The answer is Walter Matthau. The answer is Walter Matthau.
That's what I wrote down.
Walter Matthau was in Fortune Cookie. I don't know this for sure. I know that he's in Fortune Cookie and now he's in Bad News Bears.
Sounds like Walter Matthau to me.
Let's lock in Walter Matthau.
So we had an interesting conversation.
Yes.
Chris and I both wrote down two names.
Okay.
A young girl, the name Tatum O'Neill.
Tatum O'Neill.
Mm-hmm. And we wrote down Walter Matthau, obviously, who was the coach on the Bad News Bears. And we were leaning towards Tatum O'Neill. And then a thought struck, a little game theory action happened. And I asked Chris, I said, Chris, when Carmela's crafting these questions, do you think she would think Tatum O'Neill is a big enough star to craft this question around? And he immediately said, nope. And so he switched and circled Walter Matthau.
Well, the Fortune Cookie and The Front Page both had Jack Lemmon.
That's a good sign.
Yep.
That's a good sign.
And all three had Walter Matthau.
Yeah. Lee, what are you saying?
Was really in anything after Paper Moon?
I don't know anything about Tatum O'Neill.
Well, done TV after that.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, really, because I completely scratched her off right away because I feel like after Paper Moon, she kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah,
I couldn't even name anybody else in Bad News Bears other than those two, so that kind of narrowed it down pretty good for us.
All right, your next category is in history.
Hit the way.
All right.
Oh God.
All righty.
The first phone book was published in 1878 for the town of New Haven, Connecticut. Within five, how many listings did it have?
Oh, my God, Carmella.
Man, she brought the noise and the funk on that question.
What's wrong with my questions?
What? Well, it's like, how are we supposed to know that?
That's why I gave you a range.
Okay, so what do you say about within five?
Yeah, Jonathan, we didn't go over this game theory yet.
I'm going to mute our microphone so I can tell Chris exactly what I think that means. All right, we've locked in our random number.
Yep. We rolled a some dice.
That's right. We had a Yahtzee cup,
there
and
you
we
go.
Put 10 die in there and rolled them out.
Okay.
Seems like a good way to approach it.
So, ready for my game theory? So, playing with the Jonathan game theory, again, my guess would be 50, exactly on the dot. Because if you're within 5, basically, if you're within 2, it should be around 20. So, if we do the multiples by 10, if it's within 5, it should be around 50. So, in other words, if it's within 2 years, the top range is 20. If you're within 1 year, it's the top range is 10.
He's better at my own game theory than I am.
He's my favorite. Yeah.
If you're within 10 years, the gauge would be 100. You know, it would be a 100-year.
Can we get points just for Lee's theory?
No.
You do in my heart.
Get Carmella heart points.
Then we'll get points stealing Jonathan's game theory. I have no freaking idea whatsoever.
So 1878?
Yep. New Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah, that's the thing. Who had phones?
Businesses would probably have phones.
Police department.
Would have.
Police.
Only the hoi polloi, basically. But I'm sure you're talking more than 20, because you wouldn't have to write a phone book if you only had 20. You just send out a piece of paper.
Yeah, well, we don't. It may have been more like a phone pamphlet.
They were written in size 70 font.
It still might be.
Yeah. But
50 just seems like such a little number to me.
The Jonathan game theory. I want to trademark that.
It may have just been put out so that everyone had the numbers for businesses. It may not have even been for...
Because
you had to go through a switchboard. I mean, it's not like you could even pick up your phone and just call up the bank or something.
Yeah, you just dial the number 2. 2 is the bank. 3 is the post office. 4 is the doctor.
Switchboard operators need it.
Yeah.
They didn't need a phone book either. Don't listen to me.
Can we lock in the Jonathan game theory of 50?
We can lock in with 50.
Let's lock in Jonathan game theory. 5 times 10 is 50. We're going to go with 50.
So now when I apply my own game theory, I don't come up with 50. Because it would be exponential. It wouldn't be straight multiples.
So would this be the Lee theory then?
Yeah, I'd have to say that's the Lee theory of tens. We agree with most of what you guys were saying. Yeah. It's a shot in the dark for sure. I was thinking, why would it be a book if it was only such and such names, though, is a really good point. But it could have been every page was one person, and then there was a little blurb about that person or that business. It was a full on one page advertisement with the phone number on it. You know, that could be a book.
I don't know why that's funny.
we said 78. And it's just as much a shot in the dark as 50 is.
There's no rhyme or reason.
Nope.
You guys should listen to Lee.
Is it 50?
What?
50.
On the nose?
On the nose.
Thank you, Jonathan. Oh,
50 individuals, businesses, and government offices.
Wow.
Wow.
Jonathan.
Well, I am depressed.
Yeah. Yay, Lee.
I'm just going to go cry in my oversized pillow now.
I don't even. That is. Ugh. Oh, my gosh.
That makes me happy.
Well, I've made somebody happy.
Lee is dancing.
Lee's dancing. Lee's happy. All right, let's round out the round with toys. What modern toy was originally used for hunting in the Philippines?
Okay.
After
we've
a little bit of discussion,
we had a little argument, a little debate. Punches were thrown.
I don't know if argument, but
I have a black eye now, Chris. I don't appreciate your violence, but I have a stake on it.
I had an uncontrollable reaction of BS. So
is it Kobe beef steak?
It is a beef steak. It is a Kobe beef steak on my eye. Yes.
Whoopa!
All right, we're locked in.
I know this, Tara.
Yay!
And you could give somebody a black eye with this. Basically, when you have a yo-yo on your finger, you basically use it to hunt. You're able to have the yo-yo go out, and since it's wrapped around your finger, you're able to retrieve it back to continue hunting. The answer is a yo-yo.
You know, I used to live in the Philippines.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that familiar to you, Tara, at all, or no? Or am I?
We're going
to
lock in with that.
You know, you were hunting with lumpia. You're like, take that.
No, I would lumpia. I would eat that lumpia. I would need a hunt.
All right, you guys, you said you're locked in?
Yeah.
Yep. So I started by saying, Chris, it's a slingshot. And he said, no way, it's a BB gun. And we went back and forth and said, no, you're wrong. And I said, no, you're wrong. And then,
well, my argument was the key word on that was modern, and a slingshot's not modern. I mean,
and a BB gun is so modern.
Well, it's more modern than a slingshot is. Thank you very much. Because last time I checked, Tom Sawyer had a slingshot. Thank you.
So I discredited him. He discredited me, and then I had a OOO moment and wrote down yo-yo.
Oh. And
it is the yo-yo.
Yes.
So where I get that from, totally not related to the Philippines, R.A. Salvatore has a set of novels called The Cleric Quintet. And in that set of books, the main character's name is Catterly, and he uses the yo-yo as his weapon of choice.
Wow.
And convinces people that it was an ancient weapon and it's not just a toy.
That's funny.
So Tara and Lee swept that round, by the way. It was 20-10 at the end of last round. It is now 40-40 going into the half.
Oof. All right.
All right. Your halftime question is going to be about language.
We're friggin' screwed. We're so hosed.
I definitely know foul language.
So do I. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, there are 8 monosyllabic words that are 9 letters long. Name 4 of them, please.
Holy bag of poop.
9-letter monosyllabic words.
Yep.
Wow.
I thought of an 8-letter one. I got all excited. Now I'm like, damn.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
I'm checking to see how many letters monosyllabic has.
Also, monosyllabic is not monosyllabic.
That's ironic.
Don't you think?
Oh. Oh.
O is monosyllabic.
Yes, it is.
I can add as many H's as I need.
Oh, dang.
To mess with you guys, we're locked in.
Did you say you're locked in?
We're locked in.
Seriously?
There's a trick, and that's my hint to you.
That's why nobody likes you. Right there.
Except Carmella.
Wow.
And me.
Yeah, I like you.
So I think I know your trick, but I'm still not getting the words.
Man.
So
when I said, I figured out the trick.
When I started, the first word I came up with was squeezed, which is 8 letters. But it led me down the track of S-Q-U-E, which I'm betting is the trick that he's talking about. So far, I've gotten squelched. I think squelched is it's definitely 9 letters, and it's okay. 1 syllable. I don't know how detailed they are about like squelched, you know?
All right,
so I think we're talking about past tense words that have S-Q-U in them.
Okay.
But squeezed, squished, squealed, none of those are 9 letters. So I'm trying to think of more of that kind of word. A lot of 8-letter words like that for sure.
I keep coming up with 7-letter ones all over the place.
Gonna need you to think longer.
Thank you. Size matters not, my friend.
Not true.
In this case, it does.
is there any other direction to go?
Dwindled?
No, it's more than 1 syllable. I'm afraid I'm only going to come up with that one, my friend.
Quenched? I think it's like 7 or 8.
Yeah, you're right. 7. No, 8.
Quenched.
Too bad squinched isn't a word.
Yeah, okay.
What about scrunched? Actually, scrunched, I think we got one.
Okay.
S-C-R-U-N is 5. C-H-E-D is 4. So scrunched. Cool. Well, we got another one. Squelched, scrunched.
And I sort of helped you on that one.
Yeah, it's a good job.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can find anything else that ends in C-H-E-D. Punched. Got anything else in this direction, or you want to stop there? What about screeched? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. Okay. What about scratched? Yes. I think we got it, Chris.
Yeah.
Squelched, scrunched, screeched, and scratched.
All right, let's just do it.
All right, we're locked in with those.
All right, what you got, Lee? And
guys, you completely did a good job there.
Oh, and that's all Jonathan all the time.
So much. So what you needed at the beginning was a trigraph at the beginning. You needed 3 consonants in a row. at least for the majority, because that trigraph really makes the situation. Mm-hmm. So SCR and STR would be your best ones. And if you had the CHED, you could just set up a little area. I don't know if you guys could see that.
Oh, and you just started adding the vowel groups in the middle?
Right.
Wow.
So scratched, screeched, scrunched, and stretched.
Stretched. That was a lot easier than squelched, that's for sure.
So the eight words that the Oxford English Dictionary gives is screeched, scrounged, scratched, straights, strengths, stretched, schlepped, and scrunched.
Woo!
Chris and Jonathan get 3, Tara and Lee get 4.
Is squelched not a word?
Squelched is not a word that's in the Oxford Dictionary list.
Wow, I feel... We should have thought of strengths, by the way.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, how many books do you have in your bookshelf that says strengths on it?
Wow. I'm disappointed that squelched isn't there. I thought that would have been one.
Yeah.
But, okay, I can't argue. It is a list specifically by...
Oxford English Dictionary. Yeah.
So they know what they're talking about.
And we obviously do not.
But
that was... What he did was really cool.
Man. Wow, we just got taken to school, by the way.
By a teacher.
Well, he is a teacher.
That's a fair point.
I do have a degree in English.
Oh, my God. That lined up a little bit well for him, do you think?
I had no clue.
Even Tara's dumbfounded. And I even pronounced her name right.
I have
the
a
wrong
degree
too.
In English as well.
Do you really?
All I had was scratched.
We're going up against two people with degrees in English. How is this possible?
We're so completely.
Is that like a
posed.
Trivia junkie trick, going and getting a degree in English?
There you go, Jonathan. Now you know what you need to do.
I got a communications degree. It's kind of close. It's in that direction.
I had philosophy, religion. I'm hosed.
All right. So after the midpoint, it is now 60-55. Lee and Tara have taken a lead.
Yes. Rooting for them.
What?
Man, because squelched isn't in the dictionary.
We're good friends at the end of this.
Yes, we are.
She's team Tara and team Lee, and not.
She doesn't like you because you're mean to her.
I don't think I was mean to her. She's mean to us.
I think Jonathan might be projecting.
it's what I do. Hey guys, that's the end of the first half. We're gonna start the second half right after this.
All right, let's get into the second half.
All right.
First category
okay,
is going to be...
Okay, this is going to be... This is our half, right?
Yes.
Here.
Hopefully.
I hope not.
Maybe. We'll see. I would feel a little bad if the Jeopardy people walked away without winning. I'm just saying.
What?
It's on Jeopardy.
I'd feel kind of awesome, actually.
See, So just for the record, my little non-humble way of thinking is I've always thought I could compete on Jeopardy, so there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to compete with somebody who competed on Jeopardy.
Oh.
Lee's like, I feel the same way.
Your first category in the second half is going to be in sports.
Sports!
In 1963, the New York Jets were purchased by an investment group. What was the team's name at that time? Hint, it is the current name of an AFC team.
Yeah, Jonathan, we're locked in.
I totally agree.
It's because it's the right answer.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're locked in. Yes, let's ask the person that lives in New York City what this question and what the answer is on this.
It was a little bit before I was born.
Oh.
And I'm a Giants fan.
Oh. The Giants in 1963 were called the Giants.
But I'm pretty sure they were the Colts. I'm pretty sure they were the Colts. Do you have anything else, Tara?
I have nothing else.
The New York Colts sounds like it sounds very familiar to me. It sounds right to me.
I didn't grow up in New York and I'm not a Giants fan, so I'm going to defer to you.
Well, it's a Jets question, so I'm definitely not a Jets fan.
Yeah, Jets fan. Sorry,
we're going to lock in the Colts.
So Colts would have been in Baltimore.
Yeah,
I think it might have been before that.
No.
So I love sports history, and so I knew this right off the bat. The answer is the Titans.
When they wear their throwbacks, they wear the Titans.
New York Titans. Yeah.
They
right.
were the New York Titans.
My fault. I should have continued naming teams, and I stopped naming teams.
If you had gotten to the Titans and said it out loud,
I would have stopped. I would have stopped.
It would have run.
I would have stopped.
Yep.
All right. Your next category is an art.
Oh, crap.
Oh, God.
Oh, thank God.
What Renaissance artist was struck in the face with a mallet by a rival and disfigured for the rest of his life?
Ow.
We're locked in.
All right.
All right.
So the ironic thing is that in this online trivia league that we're a part of, there was just a, like, in between sessions, they have these mini leagues, and one of them was on the Renaissance, and the other one was on revenge.
Oh, and God. There were a lot of- this was before I was participating, so I didn't see these.
Yeah, no, you didn't see these, but the thing is, I know, I just read this.
I have a guess, because I've also read this while I was studying for those two mini leagues. I wrote down Michelangelo.
Lee. Yeah?
I wrote down Michelangelo. Down. I can't tell you anything else about it besides the fact that when I was doing Renaissance, I really did a lot of reading about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And awesome. Heroes on a half shell.
Turtle power.
So I spent the majority of my studying about Raphael, Donatello, Leonardo, and Michelangelo. And I remember reading this in one of those four. I remember it coming up.
I wrote down Raphael.
Wait, can't say that.
Sugar. You can say sugar. What are you talking about? You can say sugar all day.
I wasn't going to say sugar.
Cheese and crackers.
Would someone be jealous of Raphael, or would someone be jealous of Michelangelo? Like, who would have that jealousy to want to hit him in the face with a mallet? Like, hey, I'm painting.
I don't know.
I'm painting the Sistine Chapel. Or- look at me. I'm some hot S, you know?
Hot S. Really?
That's exactly what kind of language you use, too.
Hot S.
He's the hot Sistine.
Hot sculptor.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Oh, hot sculptor.
That's nice.
I mean, I'm just having a hard time imagining someone, you know, like, I'll cut us thou.
Oh, that's staying in the show.
Michelangelo. I mean,
it's a 50-50. I always coin flip wrong. So
I am not saying anything this time.
Okay, law of averages. Let's lock in Michelangelo.
Okay, you're locked in. So Chris, originally, why don't you tell people why you thought what you thought?
Okay. I did the same thing that Lee. I just started writing down Ninja Turtles. And I came across, and my first thought, and I told Jonathan, I said, okay, I've got an out-of-the-ballpark explanation for this, but hear me out. I said Donatello. And the reason why I said Donatello is, knowing my buddy Carmella the way I do, her favorite Ninja Turtle is Donatello. And if she can get a Donatello question in the game, she probably would dig on that. And so, and then Jonathan said Michelangelo, and he gave a really good reason for Michelangelo. Would you like to say what that really good reason was?
Michelangelo is kind of a jerk. And
that's,
so
that's exactly what I said.
When I remembered that Michelangelo is kind of a jerk and I felt like he had been disfigured, that's kind of what led me to finalize Michelangelo.
All right. Well, Donatello is my favorite Ninja Turtle. A man named Terrigiano crushed Michelangelo's nose with a mallet.
I just do not remember that story. I mean, I've read stuff.
It happened at one of the art academies, and I forget what had really happened between them, but he just picked up a mallet and crushed his nose.
Man.
All right, your last category in the round is in science.
Science.
Pedophobia is the fear of what?
Spelling, please.
Pedophobia.
This is where
language.
My son would do well, because he knows every – he, like, quizzes me on these things all the time.
6 1 half dozen the other.
All right. We're locked in.
Stupid phobia questions.
Okay.
I always stink at them.
So a pedometer is used to measure the amount of steps you take. So the answer is either a fear of feet or a fear of walking.
Or fear – well
– It's one or the other. It has
to be. Okay. Well, where's pedophile come from?
That might be from a different root. That might be from
P-E-D
rather than P. Well, just like pediatrician.
You said P-E-D as in dog.
P-E-D as in a pediatrician.
Yeah.
That's where – so that the P-E-D prefix may mean young, but P-E-D-O means foot or walking. I'm not sure which one. I don't think people necessarily have a fear of walking, but people have this irrational fear of feet.
Yeah, I wouldn't say fear of walking. I would say, if I was going to go that way, I'd say fear of feet. I think that just like pedophilia is an unnatural attraction to children, pedophobia is an unnatural fear of children.
I just don't think that's P-E-D-O.
Okay, then we'll go with... I can go with fee. You feel very strongly about it, so we can go with fee.
I feel very strongly that's not children.
You can see the disagreement in her face. Isn't that amazing?
I was going to say, he likes his fear of feet.
She's like, there's no way that I know this.
I don't, if I was, that's the thing about trivia. I always say, you know, play trivia and then the answer comes out and you're like, see, I said it. I knew it. Like, if you really knew it, then you would have argued for it.
We call that having thunder.
You gotta have the thunder.
Gotta have thunder.
I feel much stronger about feet than I do about children.
So,
okay,
can we lock in feet?
If you're to be in a team, you go with. I'm so, going to go
teamwork.
With feet.
Teamwork. Let's lock in feet.
All right. So Lee had the thunder on that team that time. It is uncanny, Chris.
Yeah.
How closely their conversation mirrored ours.
It really is.
Uncanny.
It's amazing.
I wrote down on the paper and slid it over to him, walking or feet. And then he said, what about kids?
Yep.
And I said, crap. Maybe it's P-E-D-A versus P-E-D-O. Went through the same stuff. Finally
Babies.
Chalked it up to a toss-up.
And I trust my partner.
And we went with feet.
The fear of feet is podophobia. Pedophobia is the fear of children.
God. Everybody feels bad, except Tara, who
That's
feels
right.
a little
Chris.
Bit of nan-nan-nan-nan.
Yeah, a little vindicated. Actually, I feel a little like...
When I was looking up the phobias, I was like, podophobia and pedophobia are really like a letter apart, so I wonder if that would cause a challenge.
Yes, it
Apparently
did.
Apparently it does.
Good job I'm sorry. On the thinking there. I'm so sorry.
Holy. When are you going to learn to
You're
listen
a
to women,
team
man?
Till the end.
All right. That was the end of the fourth round. And at the end of the fourth round, Chris and Jonathan have jumped back out to a lead. It is 75-70.
All right. Let's get into round five. Your first categories in games.
Games.
Pokemon Blue.
Oh, God, help
Crap.
Me.
I'm out.
Was originally released in Japan with what color?
All right, we're locked in.
Okay, so my daughter, Bryn, 3 years old, addicted to Pokemon right now.
Really?
Addicted because of Pokemon Go. So when Pokemon Go came out, she would take my cell phone, we would walk around the park, and she'd be like, there's a Pidgey! And then she would capture the Pidgey. So then, because of that, we went on a complete and utter kick of everything Pokemon. So I believe it was called Pocket Monsters rather than Pokemon. And I believe it was red and green. But she's asking for one color, not two. Is that correct?
Yes.
We're going to lock in green.
All right. I mean, I will go with you. Green.
All right, green. So you're locked in with green.
Okay, so I went to Jonathan and I was telling him about, like, there's the Pokemon cartoon series that's out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Indigo League. Even though Indigo is more purplish in color, I convinced Jonathan to go ahead and go Indigo with it just because it's kind of an offshoot of blue is what I was thinking.
Didn't take much to convince me. I don't know the colors at all. So if you say Indigo, I'm like, Indigo's kind of like blue. Maybe they called it Indigo. Yeah. Cool, let's do that.
Lee, you were correct. They were originally called Pocket Monsters. That's where Pokemon comes from. And when Blue came over here, it was originally Green in Japan.
Wow.
Awesome. Hey. Nice job, man. He almost redeemed himself for that last question there, Tara.
Listen, I have to redeem myself for the Titans also. So I'm kind of – I'm going to have to remember the Titans too.
Well played, sir. Well played.
All right. Your next category is in food.
Food.
What did the Guinness Book of World Records name as the hottest pepper on Earth in 2013?
It's another one my son would get.
We're locked in.
Okay.
So, Lee, this is your category.
This is my category.
Lee is a total foodie.
I am. And
he just, smashes it on this.
Back when I was heavier. I actually used to weigh 350 pounds, and I've lost around 125.
Wow! Congratulations!
Nice job, man.
Thank you very much, guys. I was a big fan of Man versus Food, and I would go around and eat all of the hot wing challenges and things like that.
Oh my God! What's wrong with you?
Oh,
wow.
I watched that show. It was a fun show to watch, but I would never do any of
right
those.
There with you, right there with you.
So the first thing I wrote down was the ghost chili, and I crossed that out because I feel like. There's another chili that just kept on coming into my mind. And I don't know if you've heard of it or not, Tara. I don't know if I'm right. This is actually much harder than I was hoping it was going to be. I wrote down the Moruga scorpion chili.
And, are you making that up?
What's that? No, I'm not. It definitely exists. It's definitely the hottest. It's if it's not today number one, it's number two.
Lee's like, it's the triple X death chili.
Oh, you definitely don't want to eat it. You definitely don't want to eat it.
Well, since I wrote down ghost and
no, there's
pretty good about that.
There's definitely three or four chilies hotter than the ghost chili now.
But wait, wasn't the question 2013?
Oh. Can we have the year again?
2013, Guinness Book of World Records.
I mean, I don't want to throw a wrench in the works there, but...
But be sure you know
like
what you're talking about.
Ghost was like the big thing people were talking about a few years ago.
And then there's a chili with Bhat, B-H-A-T. I can't remember that other name.
If you don't think it's Ghost, I am more than happy to defer to you on this.
I am worried about the date. I don't know if the Moruga scorpion was cultivated recently, as in one of those, you know...
Man-made death chilies?
Yeah, kind of like genetic engineering of sorts.
Hydroponic farms in Washington or some such.
Like those new elements that they invent and they name. It's like, but they only exist for like a fraction of a nanosecond.
They're smashing electrons and protons together to get new hot chilies.
It's going to take us 2 years.
Sometimes it does feel
we're
like
we're going to get one little molecule of this chili.
Listen.
It'll kill you.
Hot sauce is big business. I mean, there are stores just selling hot sauce. I mean, hot sauce is gigantic business.
And so would Guinness certify something that was super duper brand new, or would it have been
– I'm sure.
Did they have to like make their way up the chili ranks or
– I mean, I recently – I think I told you, Tara. I recently had a final about – hot chilies and put them in order of Scoville. And they were much more common than this.
It's like Serrano and
Bell.
Red Hot Chili.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Anthony Kiedis. Under the Bridge. Let's go eat some chilies under the bridge.
You need some soul to squeeze.
Oh.
After you eat the chilies, you drink the mother's milk.
Tara, I really don't want to give it away.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I missed that. It's okay.
I got it. It took me a second there.
You obviously know way more about peppers than I do, so I am 100% confident in whatever you say.
Okay. Let's log in the Moruga scorpion.
All right.
We wrote down a freshly cracked pepper.
Roasted red? No.
Pink peppercorns?
So... When Chris immediately wrote down ghost.
Yes, I did.
And in my head, I was thinking ghost. But when he wrote it down, I said, look, I feel like if you look at the scale now, that's like in the middle of the scale. And there are all kinds of things that are hotter now, but I don't know the names of any of them. So we're stuck on ghost, whether I believe it's right or not.
Well, and I think he's still making up that scorpion name, so.
Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah, Scorpion Deathlock.
The Scorpion
right.
Deathlock pepper.
He is this. Yeah, it's the stinger of Death Splash pepper.
All right, Carvella, what's the answer?
All right. So the Trinidad Moruga Scorpion is number two.
Oh.
The number one is called the Carolina Reaper.
Wow.
So to put in perspective, in Scoville units, jalapeno is around 1,000 Scoville. The Carolina Reaper is 2.2 million Scoville.
Basically, if you put it on your tongue, it burns your tongue straight through.
And then your chin, and then it lands in your stomach and burns through that.
You gotta be careful about putting it on tables. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, why would anybody make that?
It's a hybrid of a ghost pepper and a red Savina habanero.
It's a weapon of mass destruction. It's weaponized peppers.
Why are we not carpet bombing countries with that?
Because we shouldn't be carpet bombing anybody.
Next time we're going to war, we're dropping loads of Reapers.
Yes, Carolina Reapers.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
But you got the number two, Lee. That was... Wow.
How many points do I get for that?
Absolutely nothing.
None, but you get more points in my heart.
Nothing.
You've gotten more Carmella heart points.
You're so stupid.
Landmarks is your category. Within 50.
Crown.
Oh, no. 500 years.
How many rooms are in Buckingham Palace?
One, two, three, four, five.
One, a two, a three. Three.
Can I point out the absurdity of this question? Not the question writing.
Like, is it going to make me feel bad? Because if it is,
not
then no.
The absurdity is that we have to have 50 either way for the number of rooms in a place. Are
it
you
is,
serious?
It is Buckingham Palace.
Oh, my God. It's like, how many alcoves are there in the Colosseum?
How many little dips are in the fjords of Norway?
Exactly.
We need to ask that guy from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Sorry, Barfast. Not, sure.
Okay, we're locked in. And we're smashing stuff.
My
Hulk
apologies.
Smash.
My apologies. I missed my head and hit the microphone.
Because those are usually in the same place.
When we're with you, yeah.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay, so
10 points.
This is just
going
to be a lot of guesswork. I've been to Buckingham Palace. Been in it. I've been in the gallery. Who was it? We were talking about Roll. Who was I talking about Roll Tide with? And we were talking about how it's like Aloha. And I said that the farthest from home I've ever gotten a Roll Tide was from a guy that walked past me in front of Buckingham Palace.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. None of that helps me answer this question.
Still cool, though.
I'm thinking like 800 to 1100 is kind of my mental range.
I wrote down more than 500, but less than 1,000.
Okay. And my mother's lucky numbers were always 3, 6, and 8. So that makes me want to say 863. Just because I don't have anything else to put, although I'm just worried that it's over 1,000. But
when you said 800, that sounded pretty good.
Okay, and we're within 50.
And we're within 50, which gives us from 750 to 850. It might be time for us to Brexit this question.
Oh man! I consider that a loss right there. We're gonna have to take points.
The views of my teammate do not necessarily reflect. Or at least the jokes of my teammates.
The puns. The punishment for the puns. We need pun punishment.
No, we really do not.
No, because then I would never win ever.
I think we need punishments.
They're dropping.
Beatings will commence. So continue until morale improves.
Carmella, you have to put up with this all the time.
All the time.
Oh my goodness.
She doesn't have to. She's invited. She could say no if she didn't like it.
You want to go 800?
No, I want to go 863.
You want to go 863?
Yep.
Let's go 863.
All right, you're locked in with 863. Chris, as they started talking, the number 1100 started floating around in my head.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking it might be up there. We wrote down 493, but we're confident we're wrong.
So the number is 775.
You got it.
They didn't get it.
No,
he didn't.
They
get
said
it.
863. That would drop them down to 813.
Oh, it's within 50 either way. 50. I thought it was within 100 either way.
No, she said within 50. If she
Lee would have been right at 800. How does it feel to be on the other side of that now, Tara?
Right at 800. I had more than 500 and less than 1,000. So Tara would have been right at 800.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Happens. 10 more points for Carmella.
Okay. Well, after the fifth round, lead has changed again. It is now 80 to 75 with Lee and Tara in the lead.
And Carmella has at least 60 points.
She does.
Yes.
Your category is music.
Music! Oh, wow.
Well then.
How about that?
Name the song that goes with these lyrics.
Oh boy, I need a new page.
Yep, hold up. Switching pages.
For any god. It's not a 21 Pilots song, is it? Because I'm a hosed. Just letting you know.
Still my favorite album this year, but no, it is not a 21 Pilots song.
If it's a Hamilton lyric, I got you covered.
And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark.
We're locked in.
We're locked in.
Okay. Oh, yeah, 100% locked in.
I could probably figure it out if I heard it once or twice before.
Terry, you said you're locked in too?
This is so funny. Go ahead.
We are absolutely locked in.
All right. I think we should do a 3-2-1. So.
Okay. 3-2-1.
American
Pie.
It is American Pie.
You put a Day the Music Died and American Pie question in the same show.
I did.
Well, that eased up on the difficulty dramatically.
I appreciate that. Well done.
I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
I think that's outstanding.
Didn't have to get three words in and I already knew that. I just said I had the song memorized.
And I was like, crap, he does have that song memorized, doesn't he? Because I didn't pick, like, the easy part of that song.
No. No, the hardest part would have been in the Jack B. Nimble verses. Those would probably been the hardest ones.
All right. Next categories and holidays.
Holiday. Celebrate.
On what day is Bastille Day observed in France?
I'm so bad at holidays. It is my pet peeve category.
Awesome.
I know. Chris is better at it than I am, though. He pays attention.
Slightly more awesome?
Hey, hey, do, hey, do, hey, hey, do, hey, do, hey. Did you ask what day or what month?
What day is Bastille Day?
Holy crap.
Lee's giving you the thumbs up, though. There,
oh, I was already giving him the thumbs up, so.
Are you locked in?
No, we're going to talk about it.
No, I'd like to talk.
Okay.
Because last time we were both locked in very confidently on two very separate things.
Okay, we're locked in.
We've actually written every day of the year down on different sheets of paper. So after the answer is given, we'll hold the right one up.
Wait.
It's like,
see,
that one right
there. It'd be like the Long Island medium. You know, it's like, oh, I knew the whole time.
That's right. All right, you guys can talk about
it. Hi.
So,
you want to talk first?
Oh, you go first.
So, you know, people ask me all the time about, was Jeopardy on my bucket list? And I always say, I don't even have a bucket list, but that wasn't on it. But if I were to have a bucket list, one of the things at the top of my list would be to go to Paris for the Bastille Day celebration and see the fireworks at the Eiffel Tower.
And you would be going on July 14th, right?
I absolutely would be there on July 14th.
And in the news, just very recently, there was the tragedy that happened during the parade.
Oh, but, in the south of France, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But definitely July 14th, correct?
Absolutely.
We're going to lock in July 14th.
Okay.
All right, Chris.
I put July 11th. I was thinking Nice also. I was thinking, I would have put, even before Nice, I knew it was in July, and I knew it was shortly after the 4th of July. But since both of them are confident about the 14th, I'm feeling completely, utterly hosed right now. But I put, and Jonathan trusted me, July 11th.
If it makes you feel better.
It was better than what he had.
By myself?
Yeah.
I would have been like in April.
Okay.
So.
But still, man, ouch.
Bastille Day is July 14th.
Good job.
Well done, guys.
That was close. July 11th, I mean.
Like, yeah, right there.
You were almost right.
Yeah, that's how it usually
if
is.
If she'd have given us, there's 365 possibilities. If we'd have gotten within 3 days here, we could have had it. All right. Last question before the final.
It's going to be in television. Within 2 years, when was the first World Series broadcast in color?
Holy Jiminy Christmas.
Wow. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I don't know. Moving on.
Next question.
Next question.
These were tough, Carmella.
Yeah.
These are tough. These are tough questions today. You definitely picked from your spicy list.
Did I? And I actually had no idea Carolina that you guys have been on game shows or anything like that before.
In other words, she didn't toughen them up for you. This is normal. All right. We are locked in.
So, Tara, I remember seeing clips in color of the 55 World Series with the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees.
Okay.
That is the earliest I personally
remember.
Wasn't
54 the year the shot heard around the world? And those clips are in black and white.
Right.
So.
Well, that's, I didn't
so that
even
would
go
tell
there.
Me,
that, I didn't even go there.
That would so, tell me.
55 might have been the first. We might.
Do you remember 55?
I remember 55 because of the blue caps. Combining our two pieces of information here, would you be okay locking in 1955? Actually, let's lock in 56 because that gives us 55, 56, and 57, right? That's
but
the
we don't okay
because if we know 55. It's not 54, we know it's not 54.
Yeah, 56 is good.
Wait, it's within two.
Within 2 years.
So actually, we should lock in 57, because that gives us 55, yes. 56, 57, 58.
We don't need 54.
Right. So we think it's 55, but we're going to lock in 1957.
Okay.
So interestingly, Shot Heard Around the World wasn't a World Series game.
Oh.
So we had the same ballpark logic as you guys, but just to be careful, we went with 1956.
It was between the Dodgers and the Yankees in 1955.
Way to
Lee,
go, Lee.
Really good job, man.
The Blue Caps.
Blue Caps.
So you guys both got that.
We'll take it. We needed it.
They went on a roll in that last round. We got two out of three. They got three out of three.
Man.
All right, let's find out the score.
All right, going into the final. Lee and Tara, if I had told you you'd have 110 to 95 going into the final, how would you have felt?
It's going to be interesting.
I would have felt afraid because I know that the final is going to be ridiculous. And
Chris, if I had told you it'd be 110 to 95.
After that first few rounds, I would have not believed you.
Right.
If I had told you you'd be losing 95 to 110, how would you have felt?
I'm used to it. I know it's bitter tasting for you.
Yeah, right I'm now. Not used to it. All right,
I
Carmella.
Gotta say, Jonathan, you're doing pretty well. You have someone on your team for a change.
I love playing with Chris.
Yeah, no, trust me. This is like I said. This is one of my favorite episodes. I've had a blast doing this so far. So
we are. We're having a good time. Also, so it's good. Good.
Excellent.
He didn't care about that though.
I do.
True. I'm enjoying the heck out of having the two of them here. They're amazing.
All right, your final
category
is going to be in sports sizes.
Oh,
size
oh,
matters.
No. All right, our number is written down.
All right, everyone's wagers are locked in. I want you to put these balls in order by their diameter size.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was what it was.
Largest to smallest. Soccer ball. Bowling ball. Basketball. Volleyball.
And you said largest to smallest.
Largest to smallest. And the diameter's in inches, if that helps at all.
Okay, and this is all professional grade, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. We're locked in.
Okay. Here's the bit of information I can give you. As Tara knows, when Tara's going to trivia on Tuesday nights, I'm going bowling.
Mm-hmm.
I bowl in a bowling league, and I'm a pretty decent bowler.
What's your average?
My average is a 210.
That's really decent.
Yeah, have a couple perfect games.
Nice.
Thank you. Bowling balls, the USBC has a maximum of how large the ball is allowed to be. And that's 8.5 inches from a diameter standpoint. And, you know, size matters.
We've established that.
I feel that both a basketball is bigger and a soccer ball is bigger. But I think a volleyball is smaller than a bowling ball. So I have bowling ball 3 and 4.
Wait, you have bowling ball what?
I have bowling ball 3 and volleyball 4. I think both basketball and soccer balls are bigger.
So I think basketball is the largest.
I agree. I have basketball, soccer, bowling, volleyball.
And I had soccer second. I just had volleyball and bowling reversed.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time believing a volleyball is that small. Because that's a dollar bill is 6.125 inches, and 8.5 would be like that much more. So
definitely basketball and soccer 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the bowling ball is bigger than the volleyball.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to lock that in.
So, I played a lot of volleyball. I've bowled a lot. I play a soccer. I play catch with Sebastian. When we play catch, we play with a soccer ball. And basketball, pretty clearly the biggest. Chris and I both felt like this was a chalk kind of thing. Like, it is exactly how you would think it was.
Yeah.
And we went basketball, soccer ball, bowling ball, volleyball. Same as they did.
Yep.
All right. At 9.4 inches basketball, 8.8 soccer, 8.5 bowling, and 8.15 volleyball.
I was going to say, we can only hope.
I just broke something in my house. Sorry.
I was going to say, okay, we can only hope that they're wrong.
Yeah.
That we're wrong.
Yeah.
No, that seemed when it didn't take long to come up with that answer on my end. I felt like that was like locked in as soon as she said it. All right, guys. So it comes down to wagers, but based on your reaction, I'm betting that you had a nice wager. What did you bet?
Well, we know that you always say winners bet zero, but that is not our philosophy. So, Lee, you want to tell them what we bet?
You play to win the game. And we bet 81.
Oof. 81 big points. So that puts you at what, 191?
191.
Chris, we wagered 16.
We did wager 16.
We were going to try and top you by one if it was a if nothing else, if it was a normally hard question, then we figured if you went zero, we'd get you, or if you missed it, we'd have you because you'd be betting more. But in a question where we both get it right, that was our doom. We couldn't get ahead of you. We weren't going to get ahead of you no matter what, though, so
no,
it wasn't going to matter. All right, guys, final score. Tara and Lee with 191. Chris and Jonathan with 111.
Man, failed experiment.
Not at all. I don't feel bad at all. Honestly, if it had been a tough question, we would have won.
Yeah.
Because they would have finished.
That's true.
So I don't feel bad about that.
Man.
Just not a tough question, I guess.
No, that was a pretty easy one for me.
Wait a second.
That was a tough
I felt like that was the easiest question we had. Out of the whole game, almost, except for American
Pie. Easier than American Pie?
No, American Pie was easier.
It wasn't easier than Bastille Day.
It was.
Oh!
It certainly was.
That's right. By the way, we got a New York Jets question over the person that actually lives in New York. So
I'm not competing for the better writing.
Oh, I am.
Us fans don't really acknowledge the Jets as a team in the NFL.
So, as we stated last time, we did hit the 100 review mark. Yes. We're very excited about that.
The hump to 100.
Woo!
The hike to 100. 100.
Whatever. In my head, the hump to 100.
Chris. So now we're on the trek to 125, but some of the most recent reviews, we have one from Momo Plum. Momo Plum says, two nerds, both alike in geekery in Fair, Florida, where we lay our scene. From ancient study break to new discovery, where civil research makes civil minds unclean.
Ooh, you know what that is?
Well, it's a playoff of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, okay.
What did you think it was?
It sounded haiku-ish to me.
That would be a...
No.
Iambic pentameter.
That was from Fair Verona for Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. Fair Verona, where we lay our scene.
All right. Thank you, Momo Plum, for a little bit of artistic license with your review. That was literally the review. That was the whole thing.
That's fantastic.
We had Kyle Shep 23. I wonder if he was a male Shep or a fem Shep.
I'm going to go male Shep.
Male Shep? Okay. Kyle says, great trivia, but can be annoying. This was our 3-star review.
Oh, wow.
Usually we get a lot of 5-stars. This was a 3-star review.
That's okay.
We're going to read it.
Yeah.
The podcast contains the best trivia in trivia format out of all the ones I've listened to, and lists out Pod Quiz and Good Job Brain. Unfortunately, I think the non-trivia bits are very annoying and difficult to tolerate. I often find myself fast-forwarding through the non-trivia discussions in order to get to the questions. Even so, I find myself tuning in every week because the trivia is so good.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much. We appreciate that, Kyle.
I appreciate the review. 3 stars to me says good enough.
Yeah.
Not great, not excellent.
Tune in every week. You're doing something right.
I know. I appreciate your downloads, Kyle.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
We follow that up with a 5-star review from CT Elizabeth V715. Thanks, Apple, for making us all have to have the hardest possible usernames. We've got numbers on the front of them and numbers on the back of them. CT Elizabeth says, oh, noes! We found this podcast more than a year after it started. We listen on the way to and from work, warming it up and winding it down each day. My only complaint is that we've caught up to the current release and must now wait for new episodes. Thank you to Jonathan, Chris, Carmella et al. For the great brain exercises. The podcast is so great. We will probably just go back to the start and listen again.
There you go.
It will cement the meaning of gymnophobia in our minds.
Nice. That's awesome.
All right. They said a little bit more, but thank you, Elizabeth, or CT Elizabeth, if that's your middle name. Not sure, but great review. We really appreciate you. And one last one. This one didn't go onto iTunes because our friends Tanya and Daniel Boland in England can't get
onto the US.
They are
in Wales.
iTunes.
Don't say they're from England.
I'm sorry.
They're Welsh.
Are they in Wales, though? I know they're from Wales.
I believe they're in Wales.
Can I say Great Britain?
I think they would be okay with that. I mean, I can't speak for the Bullens, but I know in general people in Wales don't want you to say they're from England.
Okay.
Welsh and Scots get very, very, they do.
So this last review, I'm reading from an email because she demanded the ability to send in a review even though she couldn't put it on iTunes.
I concur.
She's in Great Britain, not in the U.S., so they can't see our version of iTunes.
Yeah.
So she said, and this is a little bit longer, but here's what she says. She said, it's another win for Tanya, needs work. Okay, so what can I say about a show that got me interested in podcast? This is my plug. My husband listens to podcasts, and to be honest, most of the time they bore me. Boo me all you want, but I'm dropping truth bombs. He likes quiz shows too, and most of the time, in fairness, they bore me also. I'm a loving, tolerant wife, I hear you say. So one day, he says, here's one you'll like, honestly. And I roll my eyes internally, because that's a thing. But lo and behold, my skepticism lifts as I find myself giggling to myself. I don't know the answers to the sports questions, unless Carmella asked them, as I thought American football was just rugby for pansies. Why do they wear armor? But I digress. Team Carmella. But I found myself wanting to know them. Fast forward 6 months, and I'm hooked. The trio of Bantasaurus Rexes have drawn me in with trivia without me even knowing. I'm finding myself taking part in quizzes of my own volition and being on the winning team occasionally. I'm watching and listening to quiz shows. In short, it has changed/ruined my life. You will learn things. You will get frustrated. You will warm it up, Chris. You have to listen and know what that means. And you will learn more things. You will laugh, but ultimately you'll have a damn good time. Podcasts have become an integral part of our week, and we know it will become an integral part of yours. Don't fight it.
Might be my favorite review of all of them, and that says a lot because there's been some amazing reviews, but that is just, that should hang in the Louvre. It is just, it's beautiful art.
Thank you, Bullens. I appreciate that.
It is beautiful, beautiful art.
We appreciate you. All right, in our Warhead of the Week, I guess, I honestly, I don't want to give it to them. I want to be stingy because they just beat me.
You give it to them.
I don't
You give it to them good.
No, you give them what they deserve.
All right. All right. Our Warheads of the Week are Tara Whittle and Lee DeGeorge. Yeah, good job, guys.
Yes.
Thank you for having us.
I'd like to say it was an honor losing, but it really wasn't.
No, it hurts.
I don't like losing.
I had a great time.
I demand satisfaction, Jonathan.
You demand? No.
I want a rematch.
Not yet. Give it time.
I want a rematch.
Let it breathe, Chris.
We'll stay right here.
All right, there we go.
You need to go study, my friend.
I'm out of questions.
All right, Mr. Bastille Day.
I need help.
Oh, I see. So I didn't give you any help whatsoever.
No, you did help.
All right, thank you.
You helped me lose. All right, guys. So thank you so much for coming on, guys. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It was so much fun.
So before we get out of here, I do want to acknowledge some Patreon promotions this week. I forgot to do this last week. I apologize. So first on the list, we have Jeff McKenzie. Jeff is a new private, a $1 donator. Jeff, thank you so much. I appreciate you, my man. Also on the new private roll call is Tiffany Edwards. Thank you so much, Tiffany. We have another new private, Amy Schreiner. Thank you, Amy. You guys really get it, and I appreciate it. Thank you. New captain, Tim Stats. Tim just signed up a couple of days ago. Tim, awesome. Love chatting with you on Twitter, and really appreciate the support. We have Steve Ellison. Steve is originally from Sydney, Australia, and is a tour director in Europe. Awesome to have you, Steve. Be sure to share the show with all the different people that you lead around Europe, showing them cool stuff. We talk about and this is the Colosseum mentioned on episode TW83. Go for it, man. Have a blast. Thank you so much for your support. And last but not least, we have April Calvero. April just joined today, as a matter of fact, and she is a new captain. Thank you so much, April. I appreciate you. For those of you who hear me talking about money, I do want to stop just for a second. I know we've talked about Patreon a lot recently, and I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're doing with it. My rule of thumb is this. you should only sign up to donate money if you feel like I've earned it. Plain and simple. If you feel like I've earned the donation and you want to support the show, then make it. If you're just new at listening and you haven't really listened to a lot yet, or you're just kind of getting used to it, then it's free to you. And if you just don't feel like it's worth donating to, then that's free to you too. I'm never going to pressure you for money, but I do like to celebrate the people who do decide to donate. That's why we do this little segment. So thank you so much for all of you guys who are supporting us, and I look forward to keeping this thing going as awesome as ever. All right, Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
If you need to get a hold of Jonathan, you can get a hold of him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. If you have any Warm It Up Chris questions, like today's Warm It Up Chris from Lee, you can email it to me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And until next time, that's Carmella, that's Tara, that's Lee, that's Jonathan, and I'm Chris. And this, my friends, is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
What in the world? What's up?
Nothing.
What do you want?
Nothing. I don't want anything.
Why do you have that look on your face?
I wasn't doing anything.
Were you playing with my balls?
Not if I can help it.
your balls are so soft.
And squishy.
You keep your hands off of those, mister. I don't know why you guys are playing around.
They're not
right
as
there.
Round as I thought they would be.
Genetics.
Yet, oddly, they're kept on a shelf.
He is recently divorced.
Never know when you need to bring them out.
Maybe you would have gotten them back. I don't know.
No. She got him in the divorce.
That was part of the settlement, right?
No.
That joke is so not even true.
But it's still funny to me. That's what makes it great.
Okay, Mickey.
Oh, boy.
No, that's not what he's saying.
What's wrong
with you?
Carmella hit me.
With Jonathan's balls.
Only one of them. Only one.
Oh, so that's how this show is going to be. Ah! Now we're both.
Now,
I can see the show title now.